I'm sorry, John chapter 1, Galatians chapter 4. Man, I've had a good morning. Isn't this a blessing? What's the world doing this morning? And what are they going to be doing in this region of the woods if the Bills lose today? I'm so glad that all this stuff doesn't have a hampering on me, but we can come together as the people of God and just praise Him on the mountain and in the valley. Amen. John chapter 1, we're just soaking in this book of John. I think this is lesson 12 or 13 or something in there. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, if you're part of the ERA crowd and you're so filled up with news and equality and injustice, we're also called the children of God and we're called sons and daughters. So don't let the fact that we're saying sons mess some of you women up to feel like you're, what's the word they're using now? Not empowered. To give them gave you power to become the son. You're empowered, all right, in Jesus Christ, not by getting to the top of some company. That if you get laid off tomorrow, they'll replace you just as fast. But go home to be with the Lord and see how easy you're replaced. Motherhood, womanhood, wifehood is the highest calling that God designed. In the day that this church stops preaching that, even if I'm not the pastor, I'm going somewhere that is. No higher calling. What did you say to me the other night? You said, oh, barefoot and pregnant. What did you say that you called that term that sure-footed, filled with fear and wonder, if you build your house. A wise woman build. Don't be ashamed, ladies. I don't care if the whole world goes that way. John chapter, okay. Galatians chapter 4. That was free. It wasn't in the notes. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. I'll get more positive here in a minute. And because ye are sons, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, say it with me, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Last week, we established that we became the sons of God through an adoption. And we paralleled human adoption and the things that we see along with human adoption with our spiritual adoption. And in that mirror, we looked at what takes place with us when we get into Jesus Christ, when he adopts us into his family. And we learned that adoption, even in the physical realm and the spiritual realm, moves us from a less fortunate family situation, namely the devil's family and Adam's family, into a more fortunate situation, namely God's family and part of his church. We learned that our adoption was expensive. We weren't purchased with the blood of bulls and goats, but in the precious blood of Christ. We learned that our adoption was motivated by the pure, unconditional love of God. He didn't gain anything with us. We gained everything in him. We learned that adoption gave me a new name. We saw in the physical realm that your birth certificate literally gets amended, and spiritually speaking, my birth certificate out of the family of Adam has been amended. I'm a child of the King. And then we saw that our adoption makes us a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He's going to get a kingdom, and good Lord willing, I'm going to be part of it. And it's because of that I cry, Abba, Father. If you weren't with us, Abba is akin to dad. It's not as formal as father. But the benefits of adoption get even, in my opinion, gooder. Because last week was really, for the most part, the legalities of adoption, the legal transactions that took place around my official legal standing in Jesus Christ. That's where the parallel sometimes breaks down with human adoption. Because I know of human adoptions that just because a legal transaction took place didn't mean the adopters made things a whole lot better for the adoptees. Some people just do it for the money. And I tell you the reason that human adoption is not always a perfect situation, because adopters are sinners. And sin can mess up the best of intentions of an adoptive parent. I mean, although they may have paid $45,000 to adopt me, that doesn't necessarily mean they understand me. Just because my birth certificate has been amended with a new name doesn't necessarily mean that every decision that they make is not going to be driven out of selfishness or envy or sin or something. Just because I'm an heir of an adoptive parent in this world doesn't mean that they're going to meet all of what I need emotionally and spiritually. But as the old preacher S.M. Lockridge said, but I know where a poor man has a chance. I know where a sick man can be made better. I know where a bad man can be made good and a good man can be made better. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to give you some of the non-legal things now. I want to give you some of the more personal things that we get, when I got in Jesus Christ, what this spiritual adoption afforded me. Psalm 103, we'll start there this morning. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know what I got through this adoption more than he had paid it and amended my birth certificate and I changed all those legals? I get a father's pity. Webster said, the feeling of suffering of one person excited by the distress of another. I'm seeing you go through something, and it excites pity in me. You ever just want a little pity? Sure. Be pitiful. We use pitiful. We say, that guy's pitiful. That's not the way it's supposed to use. It's supposed to say, that guy is exciting pity in me because of what he's going through. I'm not very pitiful, to be honest with you. Somebody dies. Hey, man, we're going to die. We know that. Not very pitiful until it's me, until I'm sick, until I'm dying, until I'm without, until I'm hurting. You ever just want some pity? Got a refrigerator a while back. In fact, somebody bought it for us, a brand new, beautiful refrigerator. Oh. I said, I'm going to get, because Pastor Barkowski said, anything you buy modern this day, you better get the warranty. He'll get 20 refrigerators time it's over. You better buy that warranty. So I got the warranty with this fridge that someone bought us in 8 months. I already got the warranty. Yeah, but I still got to get all of it. They brought a new refrigerator. Hallelujah. I got the 5-year warranty, 4 years, 2 months. August 28th. Well, really, for 2 months now, the ice is coming out all in one piece under the thing, and it's been funny, and then everything thawed, and then it started going again in August. So August 28th, it finally failed hard. You know what that means. It's not intermittent. It just failed. So we called a New Leaf warranty place. Yeah, we can get someone out there to fix it September 21st. 30 to 50 people every Sunday, and no refrigerator. Praise Jesus, we got this old piece of junk in the basement, but I got to go down a flight of stairs and up to get some Parmesan cheese. and I cry about it. And I'm looking for some pity. My son-in-law, Greg, oh, you got so much drama. Yeah, drama for the last 24 hours when I've been running up and down those stairs getting the sauce and getting the cheese and getting all that. Give me some pity. Everything breaking. You ever want some pity when you're lonely? When you finally tell your wife, look at you, can't be going away for a month at a time every time one of your daughters is a baby. And then one of you girlfriends appeals to my cheapness and said, when are you going to see the baby, Nikki? Well, we're not going. We're going to be down there end of October. Oh, I'll pay your way. Here I am. Pity? Brother Jay and I have been a great, if you don't know, if you're new, if you're visiting, that man right there led me to Jesus Christ 30 years ago or so. And we've just been friends and co-laborers together. And bar none, probably the greatest things that we've done for one another is be a crying post. Whining, church problems, marriage problems, children problem, people problem, personal problems. And in a lot of fronts, we think alike. And many times I've come with a box of Kleenex and vice versa. But sometimes I get to boo-hooing and I dial his phone and it goes to voicemail. In the old days, ask your parents what this is. Sometimes you'd get a busy signal. My crying post is out of town, or he's unavailable, or there's been a time or two, if you can believe this coming from him, when he said, you made the bed, now lie in it. Oh, that's nice. You ought to have been Job's fifth friend. Sometimes the Kleenex was all used up from his own pitiful plight. And sometimes there's no human being that can help you when you need some pity. But, oh, Abba, Father, he pities us as a father pities his son. Man says, he's having a pity party. Let me tell you, when I'm in that mode, it don't seem like no party to me. That Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his son, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Look at the next verse. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Whew. You know what qualifies him to pity us? He's our creator. He knows what's going on. He wired the machine. He knows all that powerful stuff and emotions. That's not all. He's the only God, or so-called God, that ever walked in man's shoes. Run over to Mark 14. And that's what makes him the one mediator between God and men. Mark chapter 14. I get some pity from him. Look at this here. We're crying, Abba, Father, right? Mark 14, verse 35. And he went forth a little. This is Jesus. And he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. You ever pray that? Lord, can we kind of get through this? Can we get to the end? It came to pass in my situation. And he said, what did he say? Abba, Father. Mark 14, 36. Abba, Father. All things are possible unto thee. You ever pray this? Take away this cup from me. He knows what you're going through.
Our God is the only God that knows what it is to be a man. And to be in such a pitiful, not the way we use it, pitiful state as for him to have to cry, Abba, Father.
You'll find no other so-called God that can claim that. Oh, they may have a prophet. They may have a prophet with a list of rules and regulations and who's running around with his 13 wives when yours just left you. And I'll say this, if your, quote, Christian faith doesn't have a God who is deity, I'm talking about God in the flesh, a son and being one with the Father, he cannot understand your pitiful plight. But there's one, the Father, who became a son. And when I'm disappointed and looking for some pity, he knows what disappointment feels like. And he can comfort us. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You wetting your pillow with tears lately? He's the only God that wept. You got lost family, and it hurts. His own brethren didn't believe in him. You got pain. He gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. The plowers plowed upon his back. They made long their furrows. There's nothing our God doesn't understand. And that's what qualifies him to pity us as a father pities his son. You alone, all men forsook him and fled. I'll throw this one out. It's not in my notes, but I know we got a lot of this, and it's a great burden to me. You single today? So was he. 33 years old. Misunderstood? They understood not the things which they... things they were which he spake unto them. Go to Psalm 69. I'm telling you, just give me some pity, will you please? I'm too busy pitying myself. But there is one, Abba Father. Come here, son. Come up on my lap. There's pity in Jesus for the pitiful. Psalm 69:19. Jesus speaking again. Tell me if you can relate. Allah can relate. The God of Mormons who makes Jesus a lesser God and the God of Jehovah Witness who makes Jesus a lesser God can't relate. But our God, Psalm 69:19, thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Thanks a lot. But there's someone that, because you know what that does? It qualifies him to understand us. It's not selfish to need a little pity. He is the pitiful one, full of pity for us. And I tell you what gets us that is being his children. Because you have no pity like you do for your own children. I look around at what's going on in this world and I can't believe it. I feel like I'm reading Daniel and Revelation at the same time. I mean, if you talked about world governments having such power 5 years ago, that we would laugh at you. That no man might buy or sell. Well, if you ain't got a job, that's pretty tough to do. Saving that he receive a mark in their hand or in their forehead. And he that killeth you will think that he does God service? Wow. You saying that's it? I don't know, but we sure do see some road signs. And here's what I'm getting from these vibes. You're not going to get no pity from no one. You make a decision for your personal welfare and that of your family, nobody's going to pity you. They're going to kill you and think you do God's service. But there's one that's going to pity you. And I'll tell you, if they take you to a martyr stake, he's already been there. He's already done that. Hallelujah! The one that adopted us, who spared not his own son, may he not freely give us all things. And what are those things that we need from time to time is a little bit of pity. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43, Acts 27. These are the little incidentals that adoption has afforded us. I'm adopted. Isaiah 43, but now thus, verse 1, sorry, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Acts chapter 27, verse 22. They're in the middle of a storm. Are you? 27, 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. In a storm? For there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. It's my ship that's in trouble. But there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Sonship doesn't only get me the Father's pity, it gets me a Father's protection. And I'm going to say this, until Dad is done with me, I'm invincible. Now, if you jump off a bridge, that's stupid. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And there is no defender like a loving father. I pity the fool that attempts to harm my child. Because you know what harming one's child, now if it's your child, okay, if everything's all right by me, I'll help you out. But when it's my own child, you know what? Pity kicks in. Men have been known to lift automobiles because of the power of pity. A protecting father is a confidence builder in an adopted son. We need not fear. My father had five sisters. They were 11 total. My Uncle Angelo had seven. So we were there every Friday. And they'd be, them men would be sitting around. Now they're probably in their 30s, maybe 40s. And they're playing cards, eating peanuts, drinking beer, and telling stories. Remember the time Junior was in the Army and that drill sergeant tipped over his bed and Junior cold cocked him and knocked? That's my father. My father's Junior. And those kids would be sitting around there. Tell another one. Tell another one. Remember that time me, Sammy, my Uncle Sammy, man, thick glasses, little short guy. He called him One Punch. One Punch Sam. He'd do the same thing. I mean, he was 70 and he still tells. Just push the guy like this and he's going to take a right wild swing at you. Just go, pow. My father said Uncle Sammy would drop him like a ton of bricks. Tell another one. I remember as I got older, I asked my dad, Dad, can you beat anybody? And he looked at me and he said, no. But they'll know they were in a fight. That's right. I'm in eighth grade shop class. Electricity. This is before I became dignified and respected, and I was a little troublemaker. I might have told this before, and I was his name was Otto Blunzer. He was a Southerner. I never heard a man talk like this before. And he'd call he's calling the roll all these Italian names, Randy Banadito, Joe Camarillo. He didn't know how to say our names. And I'm cutting up one day. There were these little chairs you'd sit on with the little desk that came open. And I'm talking around. He had these big wingtip shoes, and he came around and booted me as hard as he could right in the shin. Now, one thing you didn't want to do in my house is come home saying you got in trouble because you were going to get it worse. But it hurt, and I just, Dad, is this okay? And I showed my father. Dorothy, get me his phone number, that teacher. And he called Otto, and I overheard the call. He said, let me tell you something. You ever got a problem with my son, you call me. I promise you it will be taken care of. But if you ever kick him again like that, I'm going to come in there and kick you. You know the story about Mike Mooney, who, by the way, is saved and is going to come visit us sometime. I was the little fat boy. Talk about you got called Mickey Mouse. I got called Fatso. He used to pick on me, man. You know the story, but I'm going to tell it again. And we went to go and play street hockey, and we didn't invite him, man, because he was just too much, man. He'd tell me, get down in that snow! And I'd cower like a little fat, porky kid. And we went up to St. Helens. We were playing street hockey up there and coming back, and we're going down Runoff Drive, and at the end of Runoff Drive is our driveway right across Chile Avenue and going to my house, and there he stood. And man, them Christopher twins said, we're going home the other way. I couldn't get home any other way. Where were you? Playing street hockey at St. Helens. And we're walking up the driveway. And as we're walking, he's berating me. And we stopped, and there was where our little kitchen table was, there was these lace curtains. And my dad was sitting there. I knew he was sitting there. I could see him through the lace curtains. And I stopped. And he's berating me, and I was afraid. I just, pow. And man, the blood and the snot was coming out of his nose, and I rammed him into the fence. Would you get so confident, preacher, after he picked on you? Dad was watching. I couldn't lose. I'm telling you, we got a father that's a protector. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you going through some of that now? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I know we often think of protection in physical terms. But can I just tell you for a minute how much more can you imagine if you got to thinking and meditating how much we have been protected in spiritual terms? How much sin have we been protected from? Let me tell you, if I was Joseph in the Bible, I'm not sure I would have had that testimony. Every day, come on, come on, come on! No way! My heathen master, who I'm a slave for, no, I can't do that. And sometimes we think we're doing good because we're so high and holy, and I'll go down there to Florida every year, visit my friend Ron Martin, and he'll look at me and say, I pray for you every day, preacher. I pray for your son, Patrick, every day, preacher. Let me tell you, we don't just have protection because we've been adopted in the physical realm. You don't know what he's protected us from in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah! When I cry, Abba, Father, I've been adopted. I got a father's pity. I got a father's protection. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm adopted. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. I had this towards the end, but I thought, you know, it's kind of negative. So I'll move it up a couple. Oh, I don't want to tell you how many points I got. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with, say it. For what son is he of whom the father chasteneth not? In America in 2021, probably 95%. But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, this is a Bible phrase, then are ye bastards and not sons. Perfect pity, perfect protection, you ready? Perfect punishment. You know what my heavenly Father has that my earthly Father doesn't always have and I don't always have concerning punishment? He's got a balance. He's wired the machine and he knows what's best for me. We mess punishment up as parents. One extreme is what I would call perverted pity. Perverted is anything that's outside the scriptures. Oh, I can't give Braddy a swat. He'll die. No, God said he won't die. I just love this little devil too much to inflict some good old-fashioned corporal punishment. That's perverted love. Because the Bible said, God said, your Father in heaven said, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. That's his viewpoint. But he that loveth him chasteneth him. And you end up with a disrespectful brat with no healthy fear of authority, and worse yet, no fear of God. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men are set to do evil. And they end up going to hell because of a perverted pity. Oh, the poor thing. Let me get a hold of them. Then you have the provoking parent. You know, our flesh just loves out of balance. I'll beat you till the smoke alarm goes off. For the most minor offense, don't we just love extremes? Hebrews 12, verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Watch. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let me tell you what you can bet on. If you deserve a licking, that's what my parents used to call it. You're going to get a licking. Ooh, didn't seem like no lick to me. It's going to be a perfect punishment. If your stupidity or your lust or your sinfulness or your greed or your pride or your tongue somehow makes you find yourself under the punishing rod of God as an adopted child of God, here's what you can be sure: it will be balanced and administered in the perfect balance of pity with punishment. And you're going to be profited. You're going to be better. I'm adopted. And I got a father's perfect pity, perfect protection, perfect punishment. Luke 11. Isn't this fun? You adopted today? If you're not, you can be. Perfect provision. He said, "My God shall supply all your need." I know what some of you are facing. Some of you are facing some big decisions. And I'll be general, but it looks like the decisions are getting more than just regional decisions. It looks like they're national decisions. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Take no thought." Really? What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Luke 11, 11. Come on now. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give them the Holy Spirit than ask him?" Now, I grew up under the great, what they call the great generation. I don't know what they call this generation. We didn't get a lot of "I love you." You know how they said "I love you"? They laid concrete blocks for 30 years and gave you food and sent you to the college that they could never afford. To the 50 years old and couldn't walk. Now we got the entitled generation. Never say "I love you." No, but the actions scream it. Here's what the actions scream when a father, you know why your father goes to work every day? You know why he sits at that stinking computer every day? You know why he lays those blocks every day? "I gotta feed these kids." It's the love, it's a father thing. Children don't understand what it takes to sustain a home and a living and food on the table. And I'm not sure they should. I think it's a little bit too heavy. They'll get it soon enough. But the Father in heaven is going to supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And I don't think food and raiment is the most important provision. Because truth be told, I don't believe we're going through the middle of the tribulation, but truth be told, if things got scarce, most of us got out of fat stores to get us through for a while. 2 Corinthians 9, let me show you some provision. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I like this one, talk about provision. Verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace." How much of it? All of it. "Abound towards you, that ye always," I like these "all" words, "having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." You know what God is going to provide? He's not just going to provide me food and raiment, but he is going to provide everything I need to do what he wants me to do. Because I'm adopted. Pity, protection, punishment, provision. Psalm 27, won't be much longer. Psalm 27. Adopted. Some of you kids grew up in this thing. You have no idea. Let me get this. Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Perfect presence. I got access. You know what's epidemic today? Absent fathers. And this is from, I think, 2012, 57% of black children, 31% of Hispanic, 20%, it's way more of white children, are living absent of their biological fathers. According to 72% of the U.S. population, fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. That wasn't just taken among Christians. Listen, God has wired this thing. And as you young people are married and you're seeking your roles in marriage and you're seeking to father and you got to provide and you got a parent and you got a mother and you got a wife and all that, you better get a hold of God. Because absent fathers are destroying America. I just wonder. If this is part of this gender identity thing. I don't know what I am. How would you when he was never there? What if God wired the thing? Okay, I'm one of those. Okay, I'm one of those. Or if I was one of those, he bailed out on me when I was 2 years old. And if you're a single parent or in a single parent home, I'm going to help you here. So don't walk out. Everybody wants what makes babies, but nobody wants the result of when that child is born and the responsibilities, especially fathers. And the extreme of that mindset is abortion. I wonder about all this mental health crisis. Oh, it's about... Really? I wonder. I wonder if when a spouse is abandoned, if they go into that next marriage with a gnawing thought, is this going to happen again? And how much does that hinder? I wonder, I think he'd let me tell this testimony because I've heard him hear it publicly. My son-in-law, Greg, you'd think I'm sensitive. Man, if I tell him, hey, you've been holding the refrigerator door open too long. Ooh. I think he was 5. And his sister babysitting him might have been 7 or 8. And his father watched from a tree up the street as the federal agents raided their house and pulled out the bags, the garbage bags of dope. He was a dope dealer. 5 years old. What are you so sensitive about? I wonder how many of these kids that come from that say, I wonder if it's going to happen again. I wonder if it's going to happen to me. What if? And you don't have to be divorced. You can be having an affair with your vocation. But I got news today. There is a Father in heaven who is a father to the fatherless. And he will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. You have access. His office is always open. I remember, I'm a snooper. I'd always be under that Christmas tree. Sorry if that offends you. I'll take your gift if you don't believe in it. And I shake the gifts. That's a sweater. Don't waste your time. I will say this, though. One time I snuck up in my sister's room. Man, I'm a little fat kid. And I saw a Tonka truck that she bought for me for Christmas. She was a teenager. I was a little kid. And I'm telling you, it was the first time in my life I think I felt conviction. And I never said nothing. I went through that Christmas, and I remember that feeling of trying to open that present and trying to act surprised. It was bothering me. It had nothing to do with anything I'm going to say, but I snoop around. See, because when you got access, my parents didn't lock their bedroom door, and they'd be out somewhere, or mom's shopping, dad's at work, and I go snoop around that bedroom. I won't say everything I found in there, but one time I found a bank book. Kids, ask your parents what a bank book is. You're rich. Everything's all right in my father's house. We're not going to starve. No wonder I'm like this. Access to the intimate things of my adoptee, as my adoptor, gave me confidence. Gave me security that I'm going to be okay. And all those things I said about broken homes and all that I said about absent fathers. Listen, if you got Jesus Christ, He's all you need. Pity, protection, punishment, provision, presence, and lastly, Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. I'm adopted. I know where we are doctrinally here. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of, give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise. Pity, protection, punishment, provision, presence, and adoption has afforded me a future paradise. Why are we looking for paradise down here? I'm going where Dad is forever. You know, I know He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know when I got saved, I was baptized into Jesus Christ spiritually. I know that I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I know I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. I know He is with me and He is in me, and shall be with me. But you ever wonder where He is? You ever cry, my Father, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried that too. Where are you? Someday I'm going where I don't have to ask no more, because I shall see Him as He is, and the gates are going to be closed behind me and without our dogs, and I'm going to be safe forever, and I'm going to be sinless forever, and I'm going to be healthy forever and ever and ever. I know I'm provided for. Yeah, till they tell me I'm going to lose my job in 3 days. You'll never wonder that when we get to paradise. You'll be singing, "Everything's all right in my Father's house." It's because we're adopted. We didn't belong. We were just grafted in. Pity, protection, punishment, provision, presence, and paradise. Let's stand.